La troisième étoile du match ce soir, the third star, le Vandal!
That's right, there he is, Al's brother in studio. And Gord, you were talking to Noodles earlier about this, how when you're in studio and you're a part of the show, you feel like, okay, you match yourself up with Noodles, the yeah. O-Dog. Now you got to match yourself up with Al's brother.
I feel confident.
I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Al's brother's been prepping.
I don't know how to feel about that. Does that mean that I'm just like, it's easy to come to my level? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's exactly what it means. It's blunt. But listen, you're catching Gord. He's been talking for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of different things we've been getting into. I mean, he's not on fumes. He's always got the energy. You've called what's the longest game you've ever called, Gord? Like 4 overtimes, 5 overtimes?
I've done 2 5-overtime games.
Yes.
I've done, okay. I think, 3 of the 5 longest games. Or
You did the one last year in the bubble, didn't you?
Tampa-Columbus,
yeah.
The Tampa-Columbus game. I did the 5-overtime Dallas-Anaheim game. That was the night the American Airlines Center was pretty new, and the water fountains didn't work yet or something, and they ran out of bottled water. So I had to drink something to keep my hydrated. I'd never had a Dr. Pepper in my life. So I had one in the first overtime intermission, and then I had another one. So I had like 4 or 5 of them. I went back to my hotel room and honestly thought I was going to have a baby. I don't know how else to describe it. Like maybe that scene in Alien where the thing pops out of this.
Right.
I had something inside me that wasn't, should not have been there.
So you're not a Dr. Pepper fan,
Never had one since.
No. Okay. So that was, I don't think I've ever had a Dr. Pepper.
I've done some, I mean, I've done
really.
I've done triple headers at the World Championship. I've done triple headers at the Olympics. I've done
okay. Well, so you got
double headers at the World Junior a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to get to a point where maybe you're on fumes a little bit. Now's brother's just getting going, but maybe that's not the case.
You ever run out of gas, Brian? You don't seem to run out of gas.
I don't generally run out of gas. Not really.
We just sit here and talk.
Exactly. I mean, I try to keep the energy level up as high as. Oh, listen, I'm sure if there were analytics on it, I would guess maybe by the end of the show, the jam isn't there the same way it is at 4 o'clock. I don't know.
This is the show that has Mail It In Friday.
Yes, on Fridays, but not on a Monday. No. Never on a Monday afternoon at 6:30 when Al's brother's in studio with his power rankings. Right, Al's brother?
This is true, and I feel like I come in at this time to put a little jolt into the show,
yes.
And then we come in and we just get hot and we just start throwing some fire for the last half hour of the
wrestling
show.
Wrestling overtakes.
Exactly.
All right, so what are we doing then this week? What is on the table?
So this is a little bit of a different power rankings that we're doing. We're going to be taking a look at kind of like a winners and losers of the weekend, a stock up, stock down. And I took more of a macro level approach to how, you know, things unfolded throughout the weekend and which teams have seen their stock rise and which teams have seen their stock fall. But I said on a macro level, so not technically just over the next year.
I see.
Long term.
I like it. I think I get it.
We're talking hockey, all sports?
Hockey, yeah. Over the NHL.
So no Olympics. We're just talking hockey. We're talking the National Hockey League.
That's how we roll here, Gord.
To be clear, it's July the 26th.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. I mean, listen, the Olympics, Al's brother, are you an Olympian fan? Are you a big Olympic guy?
I mean, I get into it because it's there, but it's not.
Right.
I wouldn't consider myself an aficionado.
You're like me. Exactly.
Yeah.
2 weeks before, I do a little bit of checking in. 2 weeks of, I get excited, and then 2 weeks later, I'm gone.
I did really get into that that women's skateboarding last night. There was those 2 13-year-olds that took the gold and silver.
The girl from Brazil, right?
Yeah, there was a Brazilian, and then the local Japanese girl also, who she got the gold. Both 13. It was incredible.
Wild,
could you imagine?
Well, there's some goofy sports, though, right now. Like this playground basketball. Who put this?
Three.
It's
streetball. 3x3, actually.
3x3.
I don't know why they
3x3.
Call it 3x3, but...
Yeah,
skateboarding, I mean... I know it happens all the time. You have different sports, and some come and some go, but some of them are just goofy. Anyway. All right, Al's brother, I think we get the gist of where we're going. So are we starting with the positive or the negative here?
You pick. What do you want to start with here? Positive look or
Why don't we start negative? I feel like Megan's going to kill us here because I don't know what Megan has prepared. And JP, jump in my ear if we're supposed to go one way or the other. But maybe we start on a negative slant and then we finish positive. That feels like something we should probably try to bring to the world, right?
All right.
End on a
Sounds
positive
good.
Note.
Yeah.
All right, so give us your top 3, starting at 3. in terms of teams that took a negative turn over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't quite like what the Philadelphia Flyers did over the weekend and over the course of the last little bit. So they come in at number three for me as a stock down going forward. They added Rasmus Ristolainen, they added Cam Atkinson, but going out was Jacob Voracek, Shane Gostisbehere, Robert Hägg, the 13th overall pick, a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 second-round pick, and another pick on top of that. They just, to me, way too much went out of that organization, and they didn't really bring much back in. I personally think that that Atkinson is a downgrade from Voracek, and then Ristolainen, I know that he's a big hulking guy, but the analytics community is not...
hate him. They do not like this guy.
They love Dougie Hamilton on this. As much as the analytics community loves Dougie Hamilton, they hate Ristolainen.
Yeah.
And that's not a strong enough word.
No, it's not. So if you ask any analytics person, and you know, I like to think I'm more of a balanced type person, but Ristolainen to me, not worth the 13th overall pick in a draft, and that was a massive overpayment. They gave up a two and Robert Hägg on top of that. So for me, I just didn't really like what Philly was doing over the last week
they're
or so.
In a weird spot. For, like, they just absolutely cratered down the stretch last year.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If they can't get Carter Hart turned around.
That's right.
I think he will. But they need that.
Don't exactly have a history that would suggest they will, though. I mean, Philly, you know, the way it works down there.
There's some tombstones on the way into the ring. No question.
I would say so, there's
a reason why Ron Hextall didn't want to bring this kid up, right? Felt that he was too young, and if he hit a roadblock, that
cost
it may be tough. Exactly, and it might be tough to... And now we're seeing, a year later, he hit that roadblock. Can he get past it, right?
It's the number one X factor in Philly. There's no doubt about that. But I like where you're going with that. I agree with you, Al's brother. I'm with you on that. Now you got me thinking. All right, where are we going here? Stock down, number two over the course of the weekend.
My Vancouver Canucks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know Noodles was saying he was a fan of the deal. I was not. I did not like the move. And like I said, this is more of a macro level. Are they better night one? Sure. They added Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's still a top four defenseman. They added Connor Garland, who's a top six player. But look what this did to their cap. They got the cap relief. I mean, it wasn't really even relief because everyone said, they opened up $4 million in space. They still got to sign Connor Garland. So it's not like they're actually getting any relief. And all the players who they dealt away and got rid of had 1 year left on their deal. They only had to get through one more year, and they would have been golden in terms of cap. Now you add in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's 30 years old, on the downturn of his career, and coming up, you've got Brock Besser needing a contract next year. You've got Bo Horvat needing a contract. JT Miller, Nils Höglander, Quinn Hughes and Pettersson this season need a contract.
Yep.
I just don't see how you're going to keep this core going forward. All for what? An aging, on the downturn, 30-year-old defenseman? It just didn't make sense to me. I get it. He's a big-time player, used to be at the very least. They're hoping that a new change of scenery can invigorate some life back into his game. But to me, wasn't worth it. And I think down the line, this will be a bad move.
Oh, they're going to chew on it down the road. I think everyone understands it. I think Jim Benning concedes that, but Jim Benning probably knows he's not going to be there anyway.
That's exactly what this trade reeked of.
That's a concern, man.
A GM that knew that he had 1 year to make the playoffs to try and save his career, and he's doing whatever he can.
Yep.
It doesn't care about the future because it's not going to be his problem.
Well, and also the Jake Virtanen situation, which is more complex because of him taking a leave, or I guess they asked him to leave based on the allegations in Vancouver that were rising up towards the end of the season. But they basically let Toffoli walk to keep Virtanen, and then they buy out Virtanen a season later.
Yeah, Toffoli or Tanev, one of those two they could have kept around and decided not to. They went with Jake Virtanen.
Keep Jake and that Benning's, was out.
Yeah.
It's not a good scene. I think they are clearly better right now. Like, Erickson wasn't playing for them anyway. Beagle and Roussel are third, fourth line guys at best. They're better. They're absolutely better. But to your point, the cap is going to hit them at some point, and relatively soon, and certainly down the road. All right, well, who do you have at number one in the NHL in terms of stock being down based on what happened this weekend?
It's got to be the Montreal Canadiens, right? I mean, you take a look at the pick of Logan Mayhew in the first round. I think their stock is taking an absolute beating. I read just before coming in here that some sponsorships are even starting to pull out from Montreal based on the controversy of the pick. So I think the Canadiens deservedly took a good tongue lashing from a lot of people this weekend, and they're number one in my stock down.
It's just too bad, isn't it? Because I feel bad for, obviously, the victim, first of all, and I feel bad for Mayo because he asked not to be picked.
Yeah.
But the fact is, and, you know, Brian, we talked about it earlier, there's literally no one defending him. I can't think of it. There's no credible, you know, non-Twitter fan who's saying, yeah, this is a good idea.
Not one.
No, I think there are people that are trying to put it into perspective what he did compared to other crimes, his age, his contrition, you know, whether you choose to believe it or not, you know, where he takes it from here. It's an incredibly complex issue. The fact that he said, don't take me, and then they took him anyway. I am curious, and I don't know if we'll ever get an answer. You know, was that a scenario where he knew he was going to be drafted, and then, you know, did he say, don't take me, so that he can have a way of explaining his situation? I don't know. But the Habs take him. They take him in the first round. I guess the kid handled it well afterwards. Like, he was reading a prepared statement. But I guess he checked off all the boxes, said what he was supposed to say. I can't reason with it either. I can't. I can't reason with any team taking him. I've been trying to get to a point where I thought, okay, maybe this makes sense, maybe that makes sense. I can't put myself in that position. I can't find that take. I don't think the Habs should have taken them. I don't think he ever should have been in a position to be taken, as we said earlier, Gord. I think the league should have stepped in and said, he's not available, don't take him. I think the league has to take some heat for that. But now that the pick has been made, now he's a Montreal Canadian, although he hasn't signed a contract yet, which I guess is still, we got to figure out how that's going to play out and see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But what do the Habs do? What does this kid do in terms of continuing to raise awareness? I don't know what his responsibility is, and I don't know what the team is going to do, but I do think there's a second timeline now that kicks in. He's been taken. He's a Montreal Canadian. Now what do you do? And how much do they highlight what they believe they're supposed to highlight? Was that statement enough? You mentioned if people are jumping ship in terms of money coming in or money not going in, that's going to make it dicey. That's when the owner gets involved even more, who I'm sure had to be had to be tipped off beforehand, right, Gord? Like, I'm sure Jeff Molson was aware.
You don't spring it.
No, you don't. You can't. I think that's an appropriate call by you, Al's brother. Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that. I think the Canadians, definitely their stock. Considering where they were 2.5, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Feels like there's a dark cloud over them today, for sure. All right, positive Monday. Here we go. The stock's on the rise. Who went up starting at number 3?
I mean, again, long-term outlook, the Arizona Coyotes. I think you look at what they were able to do. They came into the draft without a first-round pick, but they were able to stockpile on picks. So outgoing was OEL and Garland to Vancouver. They trade away Aiden Hill also. But they got a haul of assets. They got 10 picks, 2 prospects, and 6 cap dumps. One of those picks was Dylan Gunther, who's a really good player. I think you've called a couple of Dylan, like, real good player. So he's going to be a real solid pickup for them. Josh Doan, son of Shane Doan, was another draft pick that they took. So some brownie points there. But you take a look at the cap dumps that they got. 4 of the 6 were on expiring deals and actually make less money than their AAV. So they're not even paying a whole lot of money for these guys. And I'm.
But what does that matter to anybody? Well, that's the owner that it matters.
No,
to.
Exactly.
If you're a fan, it doesn't matter to
it
you.
It doesn't matter. But also, on the flip side, with 4 of these guys on being on expiring deals, they could very easily flip these at the deadline. Like a guy like Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel, I think you could flip them. Anton Strowman, who they just brought in, you retain some money on that, and you flip him at the deadline, you pick up even more assets.
I think you're right. The question will be, is anyone going to take their money next July 1st? Because they're going to have a lot of it, but who's going to sign there? Who wants to play in Arizona if they're going backwards again?
They got banks there, too.
If you overpay. Like, what is Phil Kessel going to do this season? I can't wait to see Phil. He'll pot 30, play every night, play 36 during the day. It's all good. Okay, you got Arizona at 3. Interesting case you're trying to make there, Al's brother, but okay. All right, we'll see. Who do you have at number 2?
The Buffalo Sabres. I like what the Sabres did. Again, they got a 13th overall pick for Rasmus Ristolainen, which I did not expect to happen. But you add in Owen Power, you add in Isaac Rosen, a couple of solid young players. You pick up a first-rounder next year, which is supposed to be a real solid draft, along with Devin Levi, who was exceptional at the World Juniors in exchange for Sam Reinhart. Good player, but you get a really good, you know, pick coming back. And then if you can move out Eichel and bring in the type of haul that apparently teams are willing to pay for star players, according to this past week. I think that Buffalo's in really good shape, and they're doing a good job of tearing it down and getting themselves set up for a good future 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, I guess I'm just jaded because it's deja vu. We did this six years ago.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, exactly, Gord. Like, I would agree with you if they had, like, you know, cup success and playoff success, and it's like, you know what? We've made a decision. We sent the letter out to the fans. We're taking a big step back. But it's just, until I see it actually happen right, I have a difficult... And it's the same thing with Arizona, you know? They've been so bad for so long, and they're just... They're getting worse. Talent-wise, they're worse. We'll see what they can do with the picks and the prospects and the development. All right, you got Buffalo at two. Who do you have at number one? Stock rising, number one team in the NHL after the weekend.
The Columbus Blue Jackets. Love the haul that they got for Seth Jones. They got themselves some real quality prospects. Mm-hmm. One of them being those Michigan University Wolverines and Kent Johnson at five overall. Real skilled, flashy player. I like him. I think he's going to be a good pickup. They picked up Jake Bean as well to kind of put on that back end. Adam Boakvist, a solid defenseman in return for Seth Jones. I just like what they're able to do. And like I said, Voracek to me is the better player over Cam Atkinson. And it's less term, a little bit more AAV, but less term. And for a team that, again, is kind of rebuilding a little bit, I like the direction that they're going, doing what they did this past weekend.
Okay, Columbus.
I wonder about Boakvist being a centerpiece part of that deal. I just wonder about 5'11", 180-pound defenseman. Mm-hmm. Based on what we've seen in the last few years, I just wonder about that. There's room for them,
yep.
but it's tough.
And you're sending out a guy who's 6'4", 215 in Jones. But Chicago, I'm not sure they're going to be that much better this year. They will be with Jones if Taves is back, but that could be a top-10 pick, you know, that they've given up. All right, Al's brother. I like it, man.
Good work,
like,
man.
You're thinking outside the box. That's for sure.
Excellent analytics for you. I think your Corsi is very high right now.
There you go.
Thank you.
Expected power rankings through the roof.
The Dougie Hamilton.
The Dougie Hamilton of radio hits. There he is, Al's brother.